good here?
Yeah, thank you.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash. As you can tell, I'm not myself today. I don't know how long I'll last, but we have somebody in the wings to fill in for me here, so don't worry. We'll get through this. For those that like titles, we'll start with the title, Christ is Standing at the Door. Christ is Standing at the Door. We're going to start in Revelation 3, verse 20. Revelation 3, 20. It says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. Now let's turn over to Luke 12, verse 36. Luke 12, 36. Beginning at verse 36, says, And you yourselves will be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. So now let's look at the letter to the Laodicean church. In Revelation 3, 14 to 21. Revelation 3, 14 to 21. A letter to Laodicea. Verse 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Verse 15, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Excuse me while I get some water here. Yeah. Now let's look at the parable of the faithful and evil servants in Luke 12, verses 35 to 40. Luke 12, 35 to 40. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you, that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. In the fifth chapter of the Song of Songs, it pictures Jesus Christ standing behind a door, waiting for his people to respond. The symbol of a door is used in several ways in Scripture, but the commonality in these passages is that the door represents something that separates people from God. Mankind became separated from him in the Garden of Eden. When sin entered the world and the way to the tree of life, and by implication to God, was blocked. As Isaiah 59 says, we're not going to turn there, your iniquities have separated you from God, your God. In God's dealings with ancient Israel, there was a door of the tabernacle, and inside that, there was a veil, another door, both of which granted sequential access into God's dwelling place. God was not walled in. Those he designated could go through the doors and approach him as long as they did so according to his instructions. Under the new covenant, the way to the Father has been opened by Christ's sacrifice, as we can read about in Hebrews 10, 19 through 20. Yet only those the Father calls have the door to the Son open to them. Thus, if the Father has called us, we have access to Christ and ultimately to the Father himself. The door has been made where an impenetrable barrier once stood. In all three passages above, Christ is pictured behind a closed door. The separation is not permanent, though. A door, by definition, can open, but the impetus to open it lies with the individual. This is in contrast with the letter to the church in Philadelphia, where Jesus tells them, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. This open door, held open by the creator of the universe, is a reward for the Philadelphians' faithfulness in keeping his word and not denying his name. Despite having only a little strength, they have also kept his command to persevere. The picture that emerges is of a people who have little power, yet devote all they have to pleasing their master. He is their highest priority and the object of their attention and affection. Because of their unreserved response to the opportunity to know him, Jesus guarantees that no one will close that door. Yet Christ is still uncertain how much the Laodiceans really desire what he has offered them. Other things are competing for their attention and affection, and the competition is close enough that he asks them to demonstrate where their hearts truly and fully are. Will they open the door? Have a good Sabbath, brethren.